Well, praise the Lord. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis of the Someone Cares broadcast. Welcome to the preaching and teaching of the Word of Truth. We want to invite you to get your Bible and a notepad. We're getting ready to take you into a message entitled, Take Up Your Cross. In this message, I want to distinguish the cross of Jesus from the cross Jesus told us to bear. That's two different crosses. Get your Bible, follow along, study the Word, and the Scripture said, try the Spirit to see whether they be of God. I want you to try it because there's much teaching regarding the message of the cross, and there's much teaching regarding the grace revolution. I want you to know the true cross preaching, and I want you to know the true grace preaching. So get your Bible, let's go into the message, and we'll come again at the end to give you more information. God bless you. Well, praise the Lord. Just before we go into the message, let me give you a few more scriptures so you can distinguish the cross of Jesus from the cross Jesus told us to bear. Don't be tricked in this day and time as if the cross that Jesus told us to bear is your believing in his cross. Thank God for what Jesus did for us in his cross, but he told you to bear a cross. In Mark 8:31, the Bible said, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and 3 days rise again. Mark 8:34 says, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. The cross that Jesus is telling you to bear is self-denial. You got to deny yourself to follow him and suffer whatever persecution you go through in this life, just like he suffered for you to get you free from sin. 2 Timothy 3 verse 12 say, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. This is the cross Jesus said you must bear for him. Romans 8 verse 17, the Bible said, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 4 and verse 5 says, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecution and tribulation that you endure. He's talking about you enduring something for the sake of Christ. That's what he's calling your cross. And in order to do that, you have to deny yourself. Jesus said, except you take up your cross and deny yourself, you cannot be my disciple. Verse 5 says, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you suffer. That's the cross Jesus told us to bear, self-denial. Let's go now into this message. God bless you.
If you have your Bibles, I want you to go to St. Luke chapter 14. We're going to start reading at verse 25. We're going to go down to verse 27. Hallelujah. St. Luke chapter 14, verse 25 down to verse 27. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Verse 27. And whosoever doeth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. I want to speak from this subject this morning. Take up your cross. Take up your cross. The reason I want to emphasize that is because there's a lot of teaching on taking up Jesus' cross. But I want to talk to you about taking up your cross. And in my subtopic, I want to use one word. Why? Amen. Take up your cross. Subtopic is why? I know when I was a child, I used to like to know why I needed to do that. I wasn't saying that because I was rebellious, but if I understood why, it helped me more. And sometimes people need to be reminded why you personally have to take up your cross. Hallelujah. Before I get started in this message today, I just want to thank God for allowing me to find this wonderful body of people. Because you guys don't know, my wife can testify, for many years, I would preach this gospel. I would stand alone among many people. They was reading out of the same Bible I was reading out of, and I was preaching something, and they would get up and contradict it. So I used to have to go through all kinds of stuff to just stick with the truth. And I began to realize that, Lord, these people just don't love you. I'm serious. I started to realize that these people really don't love God, because if you love God and you read the same Bible I'm reading, how you come up with another message? So I start praying, God, where are your people? I would pray that. I'm telling you, I would pray that. Lord, where are your people? Lord, I want to be with your people. Hallelujah. Now, I love all people, but it's good to be around those that love God. And I just want to thank God for allowing me to find this ministry. And I'm so thankful. Give God praise for that. I just got to get that out. And I'm so thankful. I done worked with a lot of preachers in my life. I have never worked with preachers like this. I just got to tell y'all the truth. And I thank God. These men are genuine. They love God. And let me tell y'all something. We are not faking. We are flowing in harmony. We're on the same page, and that's what we expect from everybody else in the church. Give God praise. Amen. Because we love this Bible, and we wash each other's feet. So I just had to get that out, and I thank God for this ministry, the ministers here. His chief apostle is out in the public preaching about the cross that we supposed to bear. Because there's a lot of teaching going on in what is called Christendom now. And let me share something with you, that the cross message is really the right message, but most of the people that's preaching the cross is preaching it from the wrong perspective. So it's the right message, but if you preach the right message from the wrong perspective, you get the wrong result. The grace message. Let me share something with you. I promise you. See, Satan is really not stupid. Well, let me change that. He is stupid. He is stupid. Amen. He did some stupid stuff. But he know how to twist God's word. And let me tell you something. You hear grace, 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 grace everywhere. Grace is really the right message for this hour. But if you preach it from the wrong perspective, you still get a wrong result. And so that's why all these ministers out here are preaching on the message of the cross. That's why all these ministers out here are preaching on grace, grace, grace. Because Satan understands what this Bible has to say about the true cross and the true grace of God. And if you read Jude, it's only one chapter. If you read Jude prophesied and talked about the day and time we would be living in. Because he said that men would creep into the church and that they would turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. We living in that day. We living in that time where everybody, when you hear them say grace, they're not necessarily talking about the grace in this Bible. It's a perverted grace. Every time you hear cross, they're not necessarily talking about the cross Jesus told us to bear. And that's why we need to bring clarity to it. I thank God on yesterday's Highways and Hedges went out, and Brother Robert preached the cross yesterday. Come on, give Brother Robert a good hand. Highways and Hedges. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But I want to take my time and go through this, and I want to go back and look at these verses that we just read. And my subject again is take up your cross, Y-O-U-R, your cross. You have a cross. And then I want to deal with why. Why do I have to take up a cross. Hallelujah. Now, Luke 14, verse 25, I want to go carefully and slowly through this. It says, and there was great multitudes with him. There went great multitudes with him. And he turned and said unto them, do you know there's great multitudes that claim they follow in Jesus even till this day? Because everybody confess they believe in Jesus. Everybody talk about they saved. And most church folks, they go in the name of Jesus. So just like in Jesus' day, there was great multitudes following him, it is the same in our day. There are great multitudes. But Jesus got something to say to those multitudes of people that call his name. Those multitudes of people that's following him. Jesus got something to say. It says, and there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them. Now let's look at what Jesus said unto those great multitudes in his day, and he said the same thing in our day. And every one of us, as Jesus began to talk through these scriptures, we have to locate ourselves. Amen? Look at verse 26. If any man, of course you know that means mankind, man or woman. If any man come to me and hate not his father. Now that's strong. Hallelujah. And his mother. And his wife, and his children. Now, you know, why did Jesus use these relationships here? Because these are some of the closest relationships that we have on earth. And Jesus got a way of putting his finger right where it hurt. Because usually these are the things that make us weak with serving God. These close relationships. Now, he's not talking about hating these people like as persons. He's not talking about disliking a soul. But we're going to get into that in a few minutes. He said, if any man come unto me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his brethren and his sisters, yea, and his own life. Your own life. Also, he includes you in there. Watch what Jesus said. He cannot be my disciple. Well, why are so many people following Jesus and calling upon his name and really not doing this? Because Satan got a way of deceiving you. Satan got a way of making you think you're following him, but the scripture defines who's following him. Verse 27, and whosoever doeth not bear his cross. Now, Jesus was not talking about the cross he bore at this particular moment. Jesus is saying, you got a cross. And whosoever doeth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, that's two times Jesus said you can't be my disciple. If you don't hate father, mother, brother, sister, yeah, even your own life, you can't be my disciple. If you don't take up a cross, you can't be my disciple. Now, why in the world Jesus going to tell us this? We want to proceed and look at some other scriptures. Hallelujah. Let's go to Romans chapter 5, verse 19. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 5 and verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Okay? Now we're looking at two crosses here. We're looking at a cross that Jesus bore, and we're looking at a cross that Jesus told us to bear. Now why in the world Jesus had to bear a cross, and why in the world I have to bear a cross? First of all, you know the story when God made Adam, put him in the garden, and he disobeyed God. And because of his disobedience, again, Romans 5 verse 19 says, for as by one man's disobedience, hallelujah, many were made sinners. Now, I want you to look at that closely because the scripture really tear up doctrine if we really look at it. It says, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. And people have the tendency to blame Adam for everything, but you know we don't do that around here. Hallelujah. We know that God made man upright, but we sought out many inventions. All of us know that around here. But notice this scripture again, just by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Why didn't he say all was made sinners? Now that word shows up several times throughout the scripture. It showed me that sin, even though Adam messed up, that don't mean you have to go do the same thing Adam did. If that means you automatically got to do what Adam did, why didn't it say, for by one man disobedient, everybody was made sinners? And I know somebody going to go find that scripture, oh, we all born in sin, shaping in iniquity. Now, y'all know if Apostle done tore that up. Amen. He tore that up in my life, too. Glory to God. Give God praise. That scripture just tore up. We misquoted that. Hallelujah. That is not what that scripture say. Amen. So trying to blame Adam is not going to work. But it still remained that this one man disobeyed God and many were made sinners. Now, just because Adam stood in that garden and disobeyed God don't mean I got to go do the same thing. Hallelujah. So we want to get that out your mind altogether. Now, because of what Adam did, it allowed sin to enter into the world. And when sin entered into the world, death passed upon everybody. And the Bible said, for that all have sinned. Now, when that death came upon everybody and it began to work in people's members, it created chaos in this world. We just had a young man in Florida killed over 17 people. Why do you think that happened? Because man chose to sin against God. Sin is horrible. Sin is devastating. Sin is the problem in your life. It is the problem in society. It is the problem in the church. Sin is a problem. Now look at Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1. And I'm traveling, trying to take my time, but I'm going somewhere with all of this. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. This one man messed up, and through this one man, many was made sinner. Hallelujah. Sin entered, and as we grew up, we begin to test things, try things, and we became sinners. Hallelujah. We became corrupt. Hallelujah. And let me show you what happened according to Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, before the Holy Ghost came in, and before this new life came to us, the Bible said that we were dead in sin. I know you think you was good. But the Bible said you were dead in sin, trespasses and sins. Now, look at verse 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Now, this is an evil influence that gained entry into this wonderful world that God created because of one man's disobedience. And that evil influence began to deal with every baby. Begin to deal with every soul that came into this world. And like I just shared, many of us, as we begin to grow up, we start testing things, trying things. And again, the scripture said God made man upright. Amen. When that baby was born, really and truly, originally, there was nothing wrong with God's creation. But as you begin to grow, keep in mind there was an evil spirit that got access to this earth because of disobedience of this one man, and that evil influence began to deal with every single person. That evil influence began to deal with every single generation, every single bloodline, and began to influence you. What happened? This one man let this evil influence in. Let me finish reading. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Then he tell you who it is. The spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. The Bible trying to tell us it was a spirit that got in people and began to influence them. And that spirit traveled from the Garden of Eden all the way up to 2018. And that's why we have so many deaths, theft, adultery, fornication, all of this stuff. And all of a sudden, this whole human race that God had made is on a course. All of us heading to destruction. All of us being influenced by this evil influence that was given access to this world by one disobedient act. Now, I'm not going to leave you there. There's hope. Thank God for hope. The Bible says in verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation. Bible said we all had our conversation. You said, well, I didn't do that, but did you do this? You did something. Hallelujah. Among whom we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh. For this is who we were before the Holy Ghost came in. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh. If I desired it, it didn't matter whether God liked it or not. I just carried out that desire. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh. Now it's a shame if you got the Holy Ghost and you're still doing this now. Let me leave that alone. Desires of the flesh. Now watch this. And of the mind. If it came to my mind, I did it. If it made me feel good, I went after it. Not knowing that there's an evil influence helping me. I'm thinking it's me. But he's helping me to desire against God. And the Bible said, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature. Now, I don't believe no Christian have a sin nature. When the Spirit of God come in, whatever that enemy has done in you has been fixed. Now, you still have a memory and a past called an old man, the old life. You still know about that. But ain't no sin nature inside of you. They got a preacher right here in this city. He preached that when you get saved, you have a divine nature, you have a human nature, and you have a sin nature, all three in one person. Now, wait a minute. That's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. That ain't no human. That's a freak. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. What happened is, because of the disobedience of this one man, it gave this evil influence access to a creation of God. And this evil influence began to deal with everybody, every baby. And at some point, you came to the accountability and started agreeing to walk in disobedience to God, and that spirit took hold of your life. That's how it worked. And you chose to make yourself what you turned out to be. You begin to seek out many inventions with the help of this evil spirit influencing you due to the disobedience of one man. And what happened is the whole creation now is in what the Bible called bondage. And so Jesus said, I have come to set the captives free. So in order to set the captive free, Jesus Christ had to come and get on his cross to break the power of this evil influence, of the sins that we involved ourselves in, of the things that we created, the type of life that I built for myself that had me in bondage. Jesus had to get on a cross to break that power, to destroy it. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going somewhere, though. I ain't going to leave you there. Hallelujah, because your cross going to come in here in a minute. That's Jesus' cross. The Bible said when we was without strength, Christ died. I didn't have strength to save myself because I done went so far in this thing, I'm in bondage. I'm full of lust. Come on now. I need a Savior. I would pick the Bible up and it seemed like a newspaper. God help me. It brought me to a place where I had to cry out. But that's why Jesus got on his cross. Hallelujah. To come and break this thing that I created. Hallelujah. But let's keep reading. Let's keep reading. So you see the reason why Jesus had to get on the cross. Amen. We see Jesus' cross. But what a lot of people haven't realized is why you have to have a cross now.
Well, praise the Lord. That's it for today. We're just about out of time, but I hope and pray you was blessed by the teaching of the Word of God. And if you was blessed, we would love to hear from you by either a word of testimony, a request for prayer, or if you would be so kind to support this ministry with your giving, you can either call us or you can email us at the following information. The number is 225-802-5613. Again, that number is 225-802-5613. If you would like to email us, you can email us at scmcci@hotmail.com. That's scmcci@hotmail.com. For more preaching and teaching of the Word of God, absolutely free, and our study guides that you can download, we would like to refer you to www.someonecaresministry.org. Again, that website is www.someonecaresministry.org. Make sure there's an S on the word care. We are located 10414 Mammoth Avenue. We meet Sunday at 10, Sunday night at 7 p.m., Wednesday at 7 p.m. May the Lord bless you and may he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis saying, remember, someone cares for you, and his name is Jesus. Well, praise the Lord. This is Apostle Lewis again. I want to give you another invitation to come out and worship with us at Refuge Temple Ministry right here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 10414 Mammoth Avenue. That's 10414 Mammoth Avenue, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. 10 a.m., 7 p.m., and on Wednesday night, we meet at 7 p.m. Again, that's Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 7 p.m., and Wednesday at 7 p.m. And on Wednesday night, you'll have the blessing of hearing our chief apostle, Bishop Wendell Archie. Come on out and worship with us at Refuge Temple Ministry. We want to give you the invitation to come and be in the place with us. May the Lord bless you and may he keep you, and may he cause his face to shine upon you. Apostle Lewis said, we love you. Thank God for you. And remember, again, someone cares for you, and his name is Jesus.